Know when I kick off. We're kicking off right now. And this is a series that I've already been preaching on. And so if you need to go back and catch up, then please do. All right. I don't have time to go back. I am going to rehearse a few things today because I want to get you on board. I want to be sure you have a foundation of where we're headed on this because I got new ground to cover in just a couple of weeks. And this will last a few weeks longer. You understand that already. And so just be patient. And you know what? If you're not on board everything that's being said, it's okay. Don't make it a test of fellowship. You know, it's something you seek the Lord on. And if the Lord rings this bell in your heart, then go ahead and latch on to it and let's walk in it. If not, then it's okay just to set it aside and say, Lord, I need to pray about this. I need you to teach me about this. Or this may not be for me for right now. But I want to tell you, I believe it will be in the near future. Okay? And so let's seek the Lord together. I want to read to you Matthew 8, and this is 1 through 3, because I want you to see the Lord's heart. If you'll see the Lord's heart, the Lord's heartbeat, it'll cause you to run to Him. A lot of people, when they get in trouble, they run away from the Lord. I want to tell you, your help comes from the Lord. And so it's very, very important that you run toward Him, run to Him. And you say, well, I'm feeling guilty. Well, I want to tell you, He paid for your guilt. He's already taken your guilt and your shame and your blame on the cross. He's already done that. And so don't let your guilt or your shame, whatever it is, because that's what the enemy does. He piles that stuff on you to keep you from God. Well, I want to tell you, you turn your heart toward the Lord and you run to Him. Because you know what? His arms are extended for you. And He's willing to be a part of your life and your situation in the right now. Is that good news? Well, I want you to see that from the Lord, from Jesus Himself. It's Matthew chapter 8. Now, get this in mind. I'm going to kind of set the stage for this, and I want you to use the power of imagination that God gave you. Use it for the goodness of God, the glory of God. And I want you to kind of get with me on that. This is kind of the way I see it, you know, from meditating on it. It may not have been exactly right. That's why I have to say this is Tim talk right now. But Jesus had just got through preaching the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons laying down literally the foundation of the kingdom of God. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He preached one of the greatest sermons. And everything he said was great. But I want to tell you, this was amazing, the principles he laid down. It's worth looking at over and over again. Matthew chapter 8, he just finished a sermon. Now, the way I see it, he's up on the top of a hill. We would call it in Texas a mountain. They would too. All right. Now, I spent some time in Colorado recently, and they would consider it a hill. But you know where we are perspective-wise. And so he just, I see him standing on the top of the hill speaking to thousands of people out there. And he had just preached the Sermon on the Mount. And when he gets through preaching, I see him turning his back toward the people and walking over the top of the hill. Now, you know, in that area of the world, there's big boulders, big stones, you know, along paths. And I think what was happening was this, is that a leper had come up and was listening to the sermon from just the other side of the hill. And he could hear the voice of Jesus ringing out, and he's listening to the sermon. And as he listens to the sermon, faith comes up. That's what happens when you practice hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. But when you practice hearing, this is supernatural. The Lord rises up faith in you. And so if you're questioning, well, where's my faith? Or I'm a little low on my faith tank or whatever, you're really not. Because He has planted faith in you. It needs to be ignited. But I want to tell you, one of the ways that it's ignited is by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so practice that. Just listen to it. Get in it. Saturate yourself and watch what God will spark in your heart. That's exciting. That's supernatural. That's the way God works. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that make you want to get in the Word? Well, this leper had been hearing the Word, the words of Jesus, ignited faith in him. And I want to tell you, this is what happens here. When Jesus came down the mountain, see, I think he turned his back to the crowd, walked over the top of the hill, walking down the path, and I think a leper kind of jumps out from behind a stone and surprises him, you know, behind one of those rocks. That's kind of the way I see it. If not, it's okay. It's not changing the truth. But behold, and great throngs followed him. You see, they followed him. He didn't walk to them. They followed him. Isn't that something? So this is the way I see this. And so behold, a leper jumped out from behind a rock. Well, a leper came up upon him and prostrating himself. Now, that's a beautiful picture of coming before the Lord. I want to tell you what, he recognized that he wasn't just a man. He recognized that he was God. He got down in a position of worship before the Lord. And I want to tell you, there's a little fella that, we've read about and I've talked to you about years ago. He's actually a pretty well grown man now. But years ago, he was about 4 years old, 3-4 years old. And he got very, very sick, and his dad's a pastor, and he rushed him to the hospital. And in the process of what was happening with this little fella, he had a little visit to heaven. Now, if you don't believe this, just hold on, because I'm moving to something else real soon. But this little fella had a little visit to heaven. And you know, I'm touched by this because I raised little fellas. You know I did, the hall boys. And so I know how they talk at 3 and 4 years old. Y'all do too. It just tickles the far out of me the way they describe things. But this little fella began to tell his parents after he got out of the hospital, because the Lord touched him and answered prayer. And he began to tell his little parents about heaven. And, you know, his dad's thinking, well, I'm a pastor, but I've never talked to my son. I've never taught him about heaven. But he's telling me things that he saw people from the family recognized. And that, he talked about angels and talked about a visit. And so it was really pretty cool. And so dad's recording some of this, writing it down, and it's in a book now, that kind of thing. But I want to tell you something. One of the things when this song came out, and I know you've probably heard the song. It's done a lot at funerals, and I love the song. It's not just a funeral song. I'm telling you, but the song goes like this. What will we do when we see him? Am I going to dance? Am I going to shout? Or am I going to bow down before him? And dad's hearing this song for the first time, and he says, you know what? My son's been there. He's seen Jesus. I'm going to go ask him. And so he gets his little fella, and he says, son, and he's about 4 years old. He says, son, what do people do when they first see Jesus? What do they do? And the little fella goes like this, like his dad should have known all along, because he'd been there. Dad, they do like this. And he kind of touched his forehead, and then he bowed down on the ground like that right there. And you know what? When I read that, I said, you know what? That's it. Because that's the example we see in Scripture that when people first see Jesus, they bow down. The glory of God. They bow down before Him. And I want to tell you, that's a beautiful position of worship. Look, if you're in a mess, if you're kind of out of sync with the Lord, I want to tell you something you can do today. You can humble yourself. Now, I have people come to me for counseling sometime, and they say, the Lord's humbled me. And I say, what do you mean? He said, well, I got caught. And I have to tell them, you know what? That's not humbling. That's humiliation. You're humiliated because you got caught. No man can humble you. You humble yourself before the Lord. Do you see that? And so I want to tell you, no matter what situation, how out of sync, how long it's been, today you can humble yourself before the Lord. That's what prostrating himself. He humbled himself before the Lord. And look at what happens here. He worshiped him. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. It's always proper protocol to worship the Lord. You want to receive from God? Start out by humbling yourself before God and worshiping and adoring Him. When you esteem Him, you see Him. Big difference between esteeming the Lord and disesteeming the Lord. Hey, you remember the toy, the ride that used to be on the playgrounds, the seesaw? I guess they're deemed too dangerous now. But there used to be the seesaw, you know. I want to tell you, that's what happens. When you're esteeming the Lord, He's up. Your world is down. You're disesteeming yourself, your problems, and you're seeing the Lord. The old song, the things of this world will grow strangely dim when we see the glory of Him, when we behold Him. And I want to tell you, that's our position, is to prostrate ourselves, humble yourself before the Lord. Hey, Bible says submit to God, and then you'll resist the enemy, and then he'll flee. Okay, so I want to tell you, there's a lot of power in this. A lot of presence in this. You're never too grown up in the Lord to humble yourself. It's a way of life. The way up with God is down. You humble yourself, and guess what the Bible says? He raises you up. Is that beautiful? See, that's not man's way. It's not the world's way. The world's way, you step on everybody else. You stomp and step on people to get what you want. No, no. The opposite in the kingdom of God. You humble yourself. You esteem others better than yourself. God raises you up. What God raises up, no man can put down. Now see, this is Jesus' life. He worshiped Him, and this is what He said. Lord, if You're willing, You're able to cleanse me by curing me. Now I want you to catch this. He didn't doubt the power of the Lord to heal him. No question there. There was a question that a lot of people are asking today, maybe even right now for you. Lord, I know You can. I know You can set me free from an addiction. Just dealt with a man this week. It came to me, it was addicted with porn. He said, I don't know what you can do. I said, I can't, He can. I see Jesus set people free in that area over and over again. And I just told him real quickly, it's Jesus. And what the Bible says is that He's given us mighty weapons for the pulling down of addictions of strongholds. And that mighty weapon and the key that Paul brings out in this is just like this. Hey, the obedience of Christ. You bring every thought under the obedience of Christ. Now that doesn't mean, men, women, that doesn't mean that you beat up the thought life and you arrest them and you drag them to Jesus. No, you try that, you're going to lose. You're going to lose that war. I tell you what you do, it's Jesus. You know what the obedience of Christ is? It's the cross. He obeyed Father to the cross. The obedience of Christ is the cross. And so what I teach men and women too, what the deal is that you picture Jesus on the cross because it's by His obedience that we're set free. It's not by your obedience. It's not by your obedience. It's not by your works of righteousness. It's by His righteousness. It's recognizing His victory. It's submitting to His victory on the cross. And so I tell people, you, in your mind, picture, use that imagination gift God gave you and see Jesus on the cross for you. See your sin going on Him on the cross. See Him paying for your sin. See Him setting you free from the power of sin because He took your sin, your guilt, your shame, your addiction, your misses, your failures. He took it all on the cross. And so when you see the cross and you see Him on the cross, that's how we receive freedom. By His obedience. Do you see that? That's how the mighty spiritual weapons of God, the mighty weapons of God, are kicked in your behalf. Because then it's the righteousness of God. It's the grace of Jesus, not me. But we receive that way. We humble ourselves. We worship Him. Lord, if You're willing. Lord, if You're willing. Now, I want to show you what Jesus said, because I got to get on to the rest of the sermon. He reached out His hand and touched Him. He reached out His hand and touched Him. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't waste words. And this is what He said. Would you hear this deep down in your heart today? No matter what your... See, your problem might be finances. Your problem might be a relationship. Maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you've got an achy, breaky heart. Those are real. Jesus said He came to bind up the brokenhearted. So let me tell you, wait, see this. Jesus said, I am willing. I don't care how long you've been off track. Jesus is speaking to one of His sheep today. One of His lambs has been off track, and He's saying this, I am willing. You know what heaven's waiting on? For you to be willing. For you to say yes. Be cleansed. Be healed. He spoke healing words to him. Jesus Christ will speak words to set you free today if you'll listen to him. You may not hear my words, but you can hear his words, okay, to set you free. And he'll let you know that he's talking to you personally because this is a personal ministry. And instantly, somebody say instantly. Now, I want to tell you, not everything we receive from God is instantly. Some of it is a process. Am I right? Hey, the Lord's still working on me. Been a long time. Still got a long way to go, but I'm so excited about the Lord's working in me. And I want to tell you, he wants to continue working in you. And it may be a process. It may be, as the Bible describes, it may be 30% victory now. That's a lot of progress. It may be 60% victory soon and very soon. That's a lot of progress. Hey, when you go from 30%, hey, you've gotten some freedom. When you go to 60%, you're more aware of freedom than you are of the problem. You see that? Hey, after 60%, it's 100%. See, there's different levels of freedom. Don't park where you are. I'm telling you, Jesus is not finished with you yet. But I want to tell you what he's promised. This is the heart of the shepherd, is that he won't let go of you. He won't stop working with you. He won't stop working on you. He will continue loving you, leading you, and guide you through the valley of death and to the light of green pastures and peaceful waters. That's what God has in mind for you. He won't quit on you. Don't quit on him. Instantly, his leprosy was cured and cleansed. Now, I want to tell you what really touches me about this. And I'm going to use Joshua as a little example here. Let's just pretend for a moment that Joshua was this leper. Now, I want to tell you, leprosy, bad deal. Incurable, according to man. All things are possible with God. If somebody's told you, the enemy's told you, you'll always be this way, it's in your family, you'll never be free, he's a liar. I want to tell you what happens. Leprosy. You're rejected by society. You're kicked out of your family. You're not allowed to be around your family. This man may have been a dad, had little ones at the house. He wasn't able to see them, wasn't able to be with them. I just kind of picture in my mind that he might have, because he was not allowed. You see, it was strict law. You were not allowed around people because leprosy was contagious. They didn't know how to deal with it. If you got within a certain number of yards, you had to holler out to somebody, unclean! And I want to tell you, society rejected you. No one was there to help you. He may have sneaked up to his house where his kids and his wife were at night, where no one could see him, and just listen to the voices. You know what it's like to be rejected? He was secluded. He was rejected. Maybe can't imagine. Maybe for years. We don't know how long. Maybe for years. And so it was automatic. If you've ever been rejected, you wonder sometimes who will accept you. If you've had an atmosphere of rejection from family, from society, from your own people, you've been isolated, you may feel, will Jesus even accept me? That was his thought. Lord, I know you can. I don't know if you will. Everybody else has said no to me. I don't know if you'll say yes. I know you can. I could interview a lot of Christians in this nation because I get to preach to a number of them. And I could ask the question, do you believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that God can set a person free? Do you believe that God can heal? And a lot of Christians would say, oh, yeah, amen. And then I could turn it around and say, do you believe God wants to do that to you today? They'd say, well, I don't know about that. I know he can, but I don't know if he will with me. Let me tell you something. Your disqualifications that the enemy puts in your mind, those are lies. Every single disqualification that the enemy may put in your mind, the Lord has paid for on the cross. He has qualified you. Your disqualifications don't disqualify you. He's qualified you. He paid a higher price for you than any sin you could ever do. That's how big he is. And Jesus said yes to him. Now I want to tell you, this is the deal. Joshua, here it comes. Let's say Joshua has leprosy. You know, we don't know how many years. He's gone without a human touch for years. Now, I want to tell you, some people think they're the Lone Ranger, you know. Just me and Jesus. Nuh-uh. God designed you to interact. Hey, two-way people. This fellowship relationship, this fellowship relationship. You're a two-way person. God designed you that way. We need each other. We need God and we need each other. So if you've built all walls up around yourself, you're wrong. I know people do it as a defense measure. You're wrong. I want to tell you, you get to God and let the Lord minister His love and healing and peace to you and forgiveness to you. And that love and healing and forgiveness is able to flow this way. Without this, there's no this. But I'm telling you, it works two ways. You're not supposed to have walls up. And you're not supposed to have a roof up. I want to tell you what happens. It's real simple like this. Jesus reached out. He hadn't been touched in years, maybe. No one's allowed to touch him. Jesus did this. First thing he did, he reached out and touched him. And when Jesus touched him, I want to tell you the first thing it was healed. The rejection in his life. The insecurity in his life. The doubt, speculation, and unbelief in his life was cast away. Because Jesus touched him and healed him emotionally before he healed him physically. That's what the touch of Jesus will do. Now I want to tell you something. Every single person that ever reached out to touch Jesus got touched by Jesus. Amen. Sometimes when Jesus healed people, he didn't touch them. Sometimes he just spoke a word of healing, spoke a word of life, spoke a word of freedom, liberate them. I want to tell you, Jesus never attended a funeral. You know what he did? He interrupted them. Because he was the everlasting flow of life. Death could not stay in his presence. Addictions can't stay in his presence. Hey, rejection melts. According to the Bible, his love chases fear completely out the door of your life. Jesus is willing. He's able and he's willing. Will there be somebody in the house today that'll listen to him? He's saying, I'm willing. Don't doubt and do without. We believe and receive. Just surrender. Embrace his heart of love. I want to tell you, he wants to love on you today. One of the most powerful things you can ever do every day is just be still and recognize that he's the Lord and let him love on you. He wants to love on you. Embrace the heart of love. Don't focus on disqualifications. Be completely absorbed and rest in his love. His grace is towards you. That's the right manner of approach to the Lord. It's coming to him for his love life. He wants to love you. See, that's priority. If you will remember that you are loved, and if you will remember that he is present, that kicks in momentum in your life for everything else he wants to do. Beloved, we are loved by God. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. That's the love lane. That's where everything else in the kingdom operates, out of the love lane. Are you with me, saints? Okay. You ready for a little bit more? A lot of people, and a lot of churches, I'm telling you, they give a great salvation message about forgiveness. That's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. That you cannot get more important than that, the forgiveness part. That's not the only part that salvation brings. Not only is it a ticket to heaven, not only is it everlasting life, but I want to tell you, it's justification. His blood, his salvation brings justification to you. And what that means is this. I know it's a theological word, big word, But in simple terms, it means just as if I'd never done it. Justification. Just as if I'd never done it. You know what he does? He completely erases your sin from the depths of the sea to the highest mountains. As far as the east is from the west, he erases your sin, and the Bible says he remembers them no more. You know why? Because now he sees you through his Son, and he sees you justified by the Son's blood. It wasn't weak blood of lambs and goats or bulls. It was the royal blood of his Son that washes away your sin. And I want to tell you what he gives. The Bible says he gives us a gift of righteousness. Now see, that's in your salvation. You don't earn justification. It's a gift from God. That's part of salvation. Okay? That's why that the Bible's real clear that says there is therefore now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who have believed. Because this is what Jesus has done. That's what salvation is. Is it a ticket to heaven? You better believe it. Are you forgiven? Completely. Past, present, future. Because the Bible says that he won't come back down every time you sin. It said it's done once and for all. You're forgiven. I'm looking at forgiven people that's received Jesus. Okay? Hey, you're justified. It's justification. Okay? I got a couple of scriptures on this. And it's the gift of righteousness. Look at this scripture. And it's coming up, Hebrews 8:12. This is out of Young's. And you know I like to read out of Young's sometimes. It's so specific. Because I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawlessnesses I will remember no more. Do you see that? See, if you've accepted Christ, this is why we tell people, accept Christ. Because when you accept Christ, this is what God does. All you say is yes to his already yes. And this is what all he does in our behalf. Salvation is beautiful. All right, give me another scripture. Let's look at another one. Romans 1:16-17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it is God's power. See, it's God's power that works this salvation. It's not by your power and your strength and your works or your report card. Isn't that great? Yeah. It's not your report card. It's his report card. It's his power that makes this salvation real in your life. Working into salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes. I want to tell you, old covenant is by our doing. New covenant is by our believing. Which covenant you want? Amen. This is why it's called a new covenant, a better covenant. It's by our believing that we receive. Everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance. Do you see surrender in this? Do you see dependence on this? To the Jew first, also to the Greek. That includes all of us. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. We get the righteousness of God. That's why the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It's by our faith and believing, both springing from faith and leading to faith. Not only is it by faith that we receive it, it's by faith that we walk in it. In the same way that you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It's by the same faith. Now listen, that simple yes to God, a little child can understand. That little 13-year-old from Amarillo, Texas, when I explained salvation to him, he said, yeah, I want that. I said, let's do it. He did. Now, I want to tell you something. A youngin can believe and receive. I want to tell you, hey, it don't require a certain amount of education for you to say yes to Jesus. But I'm telling you, everything, all those promises in the Bible that are for you and me, all those promises, all the justification, the gift of righteousness, everything we receive from God is by that same faith, by saying yes to God. I believe, I receive. Not by your works, it's by his works. Isn't that great news? Disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. I want to tell you what your faith does, because it's not your faith, it's Christ's faith. Christ gives you his faith in you. So don't you dare say, I don't have enough faith. Yes, you do. Peter says, we've been given a measure of faith, the measure of faith. You've been given the measure of faith. So you have the chooser in you to say yes. You can say yes to God. Even if you don't understand it all, you can say yes to God. Isn't that great news? Now look at this. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright, by faith we receive salvation, right? Hey, you believe that Jesus is Lord? By faith you say yes to Jesus to be your Savior. You confess it with your mouth. It's manifested in you. It's something God does. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just receive it as a gift. Am I right? Well, look at this. The man who through faith is just and upright shall live that way and shall live by faith. It's by that same faith that we receive everything that he promised. It's by faith. By grace, it's been provided. Jesus, the finished works, is done, provided it all. By faith, we come from this physical life to the spiritual life, and we receive it. Faith is the bridge to receive everything Jesus paid for up here. By faith, we say yes to God and we receive it. And it comes back down into our soul, already in your spirit, but comes to our soul. The Bible says you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And a body's temporary. We're going to get a glorified body one day that can handle the glory of God. That'll never ever be sick again. Never ever be weak again. Be forever young. Boy, I'll be looking good like a Papa T should. I'll be young, be looking good. Hey, forever. Never sick. Never sad. Never affected anymore by what's happening in this fallen world. I want to tell you, that's exciting stuff. But I want to tell you, it's already in your spirit. Because when you accept Christ, Jesus comes into your spirit. Okay, that's what it says, born again. The old you dies, the new you is joined with the Spirit of Christ. It's the new you in Jesus right there. Jesus inside of you. Full-grown Jesus. Able to do all that he wants and all that he is. But it's got to get into our soul. How does it get into our soul? The Bible says it's through the Word of God. Because through the Word of God, it calls it a mirror. And so you need this in your mind. We got to reprogram the old computer here. It's a lifetime journey. Reprogramming your computer. That's how your soul is being saved. Your spirit's saved. Your soul is being saved. And one day, your body shall be saved. Isn't that great news? You get a new body. But this is what we do now. That's why you got to be a Word person. You got to be in the Word. Because this is how you reprogram. The Bible says this is a mirror. You know, I looked in a mirror today to see what I really look like. I'm telling you, it's a picture. This Bible's a mirror. You got to look in this Word to see what Jesus says you really are, what you really look like. All right. Well, I got to give you another scripture, though. Okay, I like that. This is Romans 1:17 through the ESV version. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, and it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is how we live, by faith. This is how we operate. We don't operate by sight. We operate by faith. If you catch this, it'll change your life. It'll change the way you operate. Next time something bad seems to happen to you, you're going to say, hey, look, I know that that's real on this earth, but that's temporary. And there's a greater reality that I'm operating in. I don't have to submit to whatever this just happened. I don't care what other people said about me. I'm going to go with what Jesus said about me. Do you see that? That makes a difference. Look at Galatians 3:11. Now, it is the evident that no person is justified, declared righteous, and brought into right standing with God through the law. It's not through the law, not through your obedience, not through your report card. For the Scripture says, the man in right standing with God, the just, the righteous, shall live by and out of faith. He by faith is declared righteous and in right standing with God shall live. I'm trying to show you, this is our position. Now, it's not always our practice. Let's be honest, it's not. But I want to tell you, the more that I focus and understand and reprogram my computer that this is the real me, this is the position of Jesus paid for me, the more my position becomes a part of my practice. Okay, man, that's exciting stuff. And so I want to tell you, everything we receive from God is by faith. Not by your goody-goody two-shoes. It's by faith. Now, I understand. Let's not be shocked, by the way, with some of the things that happened in Paris this week in the opening ceremony. And, some of the things that so dishonored God and dishonored the Last Supper and things like this. Don't be shocked by that. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't expect the world to act like a believer. Man, there's a spirit of the world, of the enemy, that wants to disrespect everything in this Bible. Want to disrespect you. Don't get offended by that. That's the way we don't expect the world to be like Jesus. Now, there is an expectation for Jesus' people to be more like Jesus. I know it's a process and everything, but that needs to be our direction right now. Not perfection, but direction. And so I'm not shocked by that, but I'll tell you what. I understand the people that don't know God, they don't know His forgiveness, they don't know His love, they don't know His blessing, they don't know His favor, they don't know His provision, they don't know that He's the deliverer, that He's our shepherd, that they might struggle with the things of God. I understand that. They don't have the power in them. It's like this man that I helped this week that, was addicted to porn. I want to tell you something. The main question is not what the addiction is. The main question is, does the power lie within you? Because without the power of Jesus in you, you can't whoop anything. You're already whooped. I don't care what kind of psychology we apply and what kind of steps that we try to give you. If you don't have the power in you, you're a loser. But I want to tell you, if the power's in you, who can stand without you? Who can stand against you? If the power's in you, that's your victory. It's the Jesus factor. And you can rely and receive from Jesus for victory for anything that you face in this life, because He's already won it for you. And we operate from victory, not to victory. Boy, that's good right there, huh? Hear what you say. I like that. Okay. Look, there's a lot of people that struggle with things, health, addictions. Fear is a big one. But the question I have that we need to consider, why are believers affected the same way, the same level, by the same stuff? You say, well, Brother Tim, the old devil's out there. Well, yeah, he is. We understand that. He's still alive. He's still operating. Now, he's already defeated because Jesus whooped him. So he's a defeated devil. We got to see that. You don't have to fear him. You don't have to be scared, and you don't have to be ruled by him. He's a defeated devil. Because I want to tell you, Jesus conquered Satan. So if Jesus conquered Satan, why are we conquered by him? Why are we conquered by the enemy? I'm going to just tell you why real quick, because we cooperate him. We cooperate with him. We believe a lie that he got power and authority over us, and the Bible says that Jesus took the very power and authority away from him to harm us. Well, we need to know the truth, don't we? And we need to practice the truth, don't we? Jesus conquered the enemy. There's only one verse in the New Testament that expresses why believers are sick. Now, we live in a fallen world. There's real germs and diseases. We got this body of flesh. There's probably all kind of reasons why people are sick. It's not a sin to be sick. There's no condemnation if you get sick or you're sick. No condemnation. Jesus came not to condemn. All right, that's John 3:17. We know John 3:16. We need to know John 3:17. But there's only one verse in the New Testament that expresses why believers are sick. And it says, for this reason many are weak. Weakness is the first stage of sickness. A lot of times before people get sick, if you interview them, and I've interviewed a lot of them, they're weak emotionally first. Depressed. Oppressed, discouraged, guilty, shameful, feel like a failure. Guilt makes you want to punish. And when you have a mindset of guilt, you're telling your body, punish me. Guilt requires punishment. And so sometimes I'll tell you, we affect our own immune system with what we think. Okay, that might be a little much right now. Okay, it goes like this. First stage is weakness, sickness. And then it talks about sleep. Some of you, Paul said, go to sleep early. Now, it's not talking about taking a nap. It's talking about dying before your time. All right? Well, there's a distinction that Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 11. We've already covered this in other sermons, but there's a distinction between the blood and the body, the blood and the bread, the juice and the bread. There's a distinction. And a lot of churches just put it all together. It's just forgiveness. No, it's more than forgiveness. He suffered for your restoration. He suffered physically. He was tortured physically. The Bible says by His stripes we're healed. Now, He suffered emotionally, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, for your emotional healing. He suffered physically for your physical healing. Now, I want to tell you, it's just God's heart. Do you remember us talking about Jesus and the leper? Jesus said, I'm willing. I want to tell you a beautiful thing. It comes out of Hebrews, and it's this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you will see God's heart is willing to touch your life with whatever you're struggling with, it makes a heaven of a lot of difference. You're not trying to talk God into anything. You're just trying to receive what He already wants for you. Do you see the difference in that?
Yeah.
Boy, if you'll lay hold of that, it'll make a heaven of a lot of difference. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says this, that careless and unworthy participation. I know Christians around the world are taught that, you know, you're an unworthy man. It's not talking about an unworthy man. It's talking about an unworthy manner. An unworthy participation. In other words, you're not esteeming what the bread and the blood is all about. You're not esteeming it. You're disesteeming it. Now, we're going to get into just a couple weeks from now what the Corinthian church was actually doing to disesteem the body of Jesus. To absolutely reject it and neglect it. And I want to tell you, there's different measures of that. But if you see communion as just a ritual or just something we do, then I want to tell you, that's not valuing it for all that it's supposed to be. And I'm just telling you, if you will approach the Lord in a worthy manner, whatever you do, you got to approach the Lord. This leprous man that was a leper, he approached the Lord in a worthy manner. Boy, I discussed that. Hey, if you're reading your Bible and you're reading it for just to get your verse in for the day and just to get your mileage in so you can check that box, okay, I read a scripture today, that's approaching the Lord in an unworthy manner. You're not going to receive what He designed you to receive if you just do it as a ritual or as a routine. But if you approach Him in a worthy manner saying, Lord, I want to see You. Lord, I want to recognize You. Lord, I want to hear from You. I want to tell you, that's a worthy manner. You see, it's the position of your heart. It's the attitude of your mind. And that makes a lot of difference on whether we receive. You're humbling yourself. And so, 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul brings out a singular reason to many believers. He says, many. That ought to be clear. He states this because He doesn't want His people weak. The Lord doesn't want His people weak, sick, and dying early. Like I said, no shock that it happens to the world. They don't know Him. They don't have everlasting life. They don't know about the blessed life. They don't know about the abundant life. They don't know about the Spirit-filled life. They don't know about resurrection life. They don't know about ascension life. They don't know about the Jesus factor. But we do. They're not in His amazing covenant, but we are. So why are believers sick? I'm just telling you, He's given us communion as a wisdom key. Put in the automobile and turn it to receive the ignition of power. See it as Him. See, communion means union with Him. Hey, Eucharist means thanksgiving. You're giving thanks. You remember the leper? Many worship. You're giving thanks to the Lord. You're making a divine proper approach, a worthy manner. And, when I remember, even as a kid, the Lord's Supper being presented, and man, it was real clear. Boy, they'd make it close. I know y'all have heard this, but they'd make it real clear. Boy, now if there's any sin in your life, don't you dare. Don't you receive communion if there's sin in your life. You need to get down here and repent before you do, because if you have communion with sin in your life, it'll be a curse to you. You're going to get weak, sick, and you'll die early. And boy, they celebrate the curse, and they're even going the wrong direction. The communion is not why people are weak and sick and dying early. It's not communion. It's refusing the blessing. Because Jesus is the blessing. And I want to tell you how to reverse the curse. Whether it's financial, whether it's an addiction, whether it's sickness, whatever it is. The way to reverse the curse is to concentrate, and it's brought out in 1 Corinthians 10, by the way, Jesus is your way of escape. He's the one that sets you free. And so when you receive of the blessing, you drive back the curse. That's why we're calling this reverse the curse. Okay? And the way we do that is by embracing Jesus. And so if they didn't teach that, don't you dare, if they didn't teach it, it was implied. Okay? Now let's talk. I just want to take just a few more minutes. I know what time says, but give me just a couple more minutes. I want to talk about in the natural. You know, and sometimes Paul did this while he was teaching. Now I'm going to talk like a regular human. So I'm going to talk like a regular human right now. And let me qualify this. If you have accepted Jesus, you're not a regular human. And so you're not limited by what other humans are limited to because you know the one true God. And with God, all things are possible. And He has a better blessed life for you than the normal low life. He said, you give your life to Him and you receive kingdom life. Hey, now I know you're a citizen of this world, but you better be a citizen of heaven. And you know what? Let's walk in kingdom life. I'm just trying to tell you there's more. Believe the Lord for more. That's what His body wants to know. That's the purpose of this series, is to get you to get a hold of the Lord and believe Him for more. Heaven loves it when believers believe. Amen. And hear the Lord saying to your heart, I'm willing. So let's believe big. Heaven loves it when we believe big. Normal humans, this mortal body is getting weaker by the day. It's the natural aging process. The whole world's getting weaker and weaker and sicker and sicker. But again, not because of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was given by Jesus to counteract the curse that came on this earth through Adam. Sickness and disease and death was not in the garden. It came as a result of sin. It wasn't something God sent. It was something that man established through cooperating with the enemy. Because the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, not Jesus. Jesus, John 10:10 says, I come that they might have life. He's come to present life. The enemy presents death. Sin brings death. You say, well, it wasn't my choice. I want to tell you, it's in your DNA because of Adam. Now, the good news is this. When you accept Jesus, you get divine DNA in you. Okay? And even though we still live in the world, we don't have to live under the world. We don't have to live under the circumstances because Jesus won a better life for us. He said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the overflow, to the abundant life. Does that sound like good news to you? We got to remember. Jesus said, whenever you partake in communion, remember me. I want to tell you, it's a key word. I want you to connect this. If you connect this, it'll change the way you approach the Lord, which is what we got to do. When you remember, you receive. He said over and over all through the Bible, do not forget, do not forget, do not forget. You know why? Because we tend to forget. Now, I want to tell you, when you remember the Lord, when you focus on the Lord, when you humble yourself before the Lord and esteem the Lord, guess what? When you remember Him, you receive. Because it's by faith. It's not complicated. It's something all of us can do because He made it this way. You remember, you receive. Everybody say, I remember, I receive. That's of Jesus right there. Remember His covenant. Remember and receive the benefits of the finished works. This is about the finished works. It's a lot more than a piece of bread and a little bit of juice. It's representing the finished works. And when you remember the finished works, you receive the benefits. To offset, to push back the natural curse, to rebuke, to resist, to drive back the process, The Lord's Supper is given as a provision, as a way out. Like Jesus said, about Jesus in the chapter before, 1 Corinthians 10, he's the way of escape, either out or through it. It's by grace. From the natural curse, the supernatural provision of the new covenant becomes active. When you remember, you receive, it becomes active in your life. Is that great news? And so the key to all of his promises is the same. By faith we receive. By faith we live. By faith. By faith. You may not see it in your checkbook, but I want to tell you, it's by faith. We embrace the blessing that we live not by what's limited in our checkbook, but by the very riches of his glory. You see that? Hey, your doctor's report may say a bad, negative report. But we don't live by the doctor's report. We live by what Jesus said. By his stripes I am healed. We focus on him. Hey, look, you may have way too much month than you have paycheck. But I want to tell you, when you focus on Jesus, that he's the blessing. Hey, he said, I am, which means he's the unlimited supply. And when you focus on the unlimited supply, guess what you're going to see? You remember, you receive unlimited supply. Is that too simple? Well, I want to tell you, it's our joy to discover this in our life. It's our joy to practice it. It's our joy to learn how to walk in him. Is that great news? Well, I'll tell you what, take your elements because it's time. Take your elements. I went just a few minutes over. We're still going to have time for some testimony. So let's have some folk ready to brag on Jesus here any minute now. Brag on Jesus because this won't take long. You see the bread? The bread is not just bread. It represents his body that was broken for you. Now let me tell you about the brokenness of his body. His body was broken so yours could be made whole. His body was tortured. He was tortured in his soul so your insides could be made well. Hey, he wants your wellness. He wants your wholeness. He suffered for that. Think about it. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament, none of the animals suffered. Boy, the priests were experts at taking that knife, touching that jugular vein, and the animal simply goes to sleep in seconds. No suffering. The Lamb of God suffered extensively. You know why? For you. Jesus said, this is it. It's covenant. Lord Jesus, I recognize you. I recognize that you suffered inside and out so that we can receive of you inside and out. Thank you, Lord, that you became what we are on the cross so that we could receive who you are in this life. And by grace through faith, we say yes to all you have for us. Right now, healing of heart, healing of body, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of your blood. That by your blood, we're totally and completely forgiven. Lord, we rejoice. By faith, we receive it deep down in our soul right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your blood, that we're justified. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your blood, you give us the gift of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because of your blood. Thank you that because of your blood, your death is our victory in this life. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's salute the Lord. Let's celebrate the Lord. Let's honor the Lord.